It is so good to be back in the house of the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It's been a number of years since I've been back here, and I'm just so delighted to see so many friendly faces. I can just say that I love most of you. I spent some time first youth pastor of this one, and I was nicknamed the Pastor of Disaster by Pastor Vic. I had a few things. I got caught with a youth group up in a fire. National Forest Fire up in Canada, electrical hotel fire in Washington, D.C., a hurricane down in Mexico, a bomb threat over in Germany, and of course, all those things can happen to anybody. And so it's a pleasure serving here 8 or 10 years, and I'm so glad to be back. This is the first time I've spoken since the passing of my wife, which we'll talk about in a while. My topic today is Finding Comfort in a Time of Loss. And the subtitle is God Knows, God Cares. And that's what we're going to talk about. Would you just join me in prayer? Lord, use your servant today to bless your children. Use your word today to encourage them to trust you more. And may the example that you have about to share about our experiences be a blessing to many. In Jesus' name, amen. Usually I get in problems right near the first part of the service. It has to do with introductions. And I was down in Phoenix and speaking to a church of about 2,000, and I was very nervous, and an old guy came up to me and he said, "Pastor, if you wouldn't have been a pastor, what would you have been?" And I said, "I'd have been a pip for Gladys Knight." And now, how many remember Gladys Knight and the Pips? They sang the Midnight Train to Georgia, which is one of the great, great hymns of all time. And so he got out there, and I came out there with him, and he said, "Our special speaker tonight is Mike Montgomery, and if he wouldn't have been a pastor, he'd have been a pimp for Gladys Knight." And my wife, Joan, just slid like a melting popsicle right in that front room. And I said, "Scoop her up. She'll be okay." So I usually get in trouble early. And so bear with me. A lot of times, Pastor Vic, is he here today? No, he doesn't go to church anymore. Well, my office is right over here. And Vic used to have the thermostat in his office. And whenever I was in trouble, my temperature would be controlled by him, and he'd turn down that temperature. So I got a lot of problems. Well, today I'm here to talk about finding comfort in times of loss. And I know that most of you can relate to this. My wife of 40 years passed away August 17th last year after a devastating battle with ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. And I loved her immensely. She was the joy of my life. And the pain of separation was overwhelming, as Joan had been married. We had been married for these 40 years and been high school sweethearts. She was my best friend, a co-laborer in Christ, a model wife and mother of children. And Joan was the kindest, lovingest person I'd ever met. And how many of you knew Joan? And you'd agree, wouldn't you? Yeah, she's just that kind of person. And so everybody said that I was lucky to find her. And I agreed with that. But I miss her dearly. Psychologists suggest that dealing with the death of a spouse is more devastating than previously thought. The great experiences, grief experience is all encompassing. It affects the social, the mental, the emotional aspects, physiological, and there's even spiritual connotations. Now, many of us in this room can appreciate the ministry that people have to you while you're experiencing loss. And some of you had the loss of a child, the death of a marriage, the death of a business partnership, death of a dream. At all these times, the one thing that we need is somebody to comfort us, right? And the Bible talks about today three resources. Three spiritual resources that God has provided to comfort us, to those who are experiencing loss. Now, there's a picture of my beauty. She had just lost her shoe in the ocean, and she was a little sad. But she was a beautiful woman inside and out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul calls the God of the universe the God of all comfort. And he says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we may comfort others, those in any trouble, with the comfort that we ourselves have received." And so today I'm here to report that God has kept his word. He's brought comfort to me and to my family. And today we'll talk about three things. But I'm trying to follow his lead in bringing comfort to you in the same way I was comforted. When Joan and I had a time to talk, and she said that before she passed away, she said that you need to get married right away as soon as I die. And I said, well, I should take a little time. And she said, how about 8 to 10 weeks? That's all I give you. And I said, well, why? And she said, you don't know how to do anything. And I took that to heart. And then later after she passed away, I practiced it. I was cooking a pizza the other day and burned it profusely. And so I just took it out of there and said, I'm not eating this. I'm not that kind of person. And then I nibbled on it, and it wasn't bad. Then later on, I cooked another piece of pizza, or a pizza, and it burned a little bit. But then it started to smoke, and the smoke set off the fire alarms. And the fire alarms, it was a smoke-filled kitchen, and so I opened the back door, then opened the side door, and opened to the garage door. And smoke was just pouring out of everything. And so people came by, and they give you one of these looks. Are you all right? And I said, I'm smoking brisket in here. So just mind your own business. But the same way I was telling our men the other day, that a man left alone by himself after a little while reverts back to a single life a little bit. It doesn't take that long. For instance, I had a set of sheets, and I was saying to our men's group, you can go on with your life. Like the pillowcases, that's only your drool. You don't need that. And then I said, the next one is the bed sheet, and that's only your sweat. So that you don't need that either. And then that one that has all the elastic that goes around, I don't know how that thing goes on there. But I put 1 foot here, 1 foot here, and then I get down like this, and then roll over. And it's very difficult to do. So I advise you to practice that. But let's talk about comfort. So I haven't lost my sense of humor. And Joan told me once, she said, your humor is hard to understand. And I said, that's your problem, not mine. So I continue to amuse myself. Well, what does it mean to be comforted? Well, the Hebrew word suggests that comfort is referring to close access to God. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want. He maketh me lay down by green pastures and still waters. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me, right? And so God says he's with us, and his presence is near us. And the Bible says in Romans 5, 1 through 2, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith in this grace now in which we stand. The first way that God comforts us is through his presence. And this comes from another Greek word about his presence, which means literally FaceTime. Now, we're familiar with that. I've got some grandkids that we Skype, and it's so good to see them face to face, even though it's a distance. It's better than nothing, right? But when I was in Spokane recently to visit with them, they like to come up to you and get right here and look at you in your eyes and say, "Papa, it's so good to have you at our house." And then they ask the question, "How did you get to be such a great papa?" I don't know. I practice at home. The Bible says too, at James chapter 4, says that God's intentions are for us to draw near to him, and he'll draw near to us. And so he wants us to come because he wants his very person and his presence to comfort us, right? And so when Joan was in the, we went to Mayo Clinic because Joan was showing signs of some neurological problem. And we got there and the doctors came in and he said, "I've got some terrible news for you. You have ALS, which is a terminal disease." And Joan said, "I thought that's what I might have by my reading and visiting with other people. But I would like to say I'm very sorry for you, Dr. Jones, for having to tell me this sad news." And she said, "I'd like to pray for you." And I thought, what an outstanding woman. In a time of desperation, she's praying for somebody else. And then she says, "Mike, go ahead." And as I usually do, I swallow first, and then I prayed for him. And he was a great doctor and helped us immensely. But it was on Joan's heart to pray for people. And the nurse walks in. She said, "I'm so sorry that you have to tell, along with Dr. Jones, and work with people that are in this state of ALS." And we prayed for her too. The Hebrew word for presence means, as I said, FaceTime, and it means to see one in person. And there's nothing like the presence of somebody to give you comfort that you love, right? If you've had a loss, there's nothing like a friend or family member to call you or to stand near you or return you to your stability. My office was right over here, and I looked out one winter day, and there was a child about 3 or 4 years old, no coat on, just walking through the snow. And I said to myself, "That doesn't look right. I'm that sharp." Okay. And so I went out and picked up the little boy. And I asked him where he was from. What's he doing out here? And he didn't know what to say. But as I looked around, I thought, well, where did this kid come from? Where would you think he would come from? The library is my first thought, because the library has one of those electronic doors that open up. And this little kid probably just got out of there, and his mother doesn't even know he's gone. So I walked over to the library, and there was this mother looking for her kid. And I returned him into the little boy into her mother's presence. And that boy felt a lot better. And the mother didn't know that he was gone for a period of time. But our Father knows what we need. According to the scripture, there are a variety of reactions from people who appeared before God. Some are afraid, as indicated by Adam and Eve hiding from God after they had sinned in the Garden of Eden. Some confess their sins, like Isaiah. Others remain silent. And some bring questions, like Job. But eventually all acknowledge his divine authority. Remember when Job said, "Why is my suffering taking place?" And he interacted with his friends. And by the way, Job called his friends a bunch of miserable comforters. Remember that? They said, "This is the way God works." And God said to Job, finally, at the end of the chapter 38 or 40, he said, "Were you there at the foundations of the earth when I set the corners in place?" And so he didn't answer the question. He just had divine authority. And Hebrews talks about this. Do we have a slide on Hebrews? In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. So when we get into the presence of God, we just acknowledge his divine authority, right? Everybody with me? And so we acknowledge his divine authority. Joan and I never asked once, "Why, God, did you send us this way?" Because we knew that his way is perfect, and he is a maker and creator of us, and he can turn his sovereign plan for us. So we just said, what should we do, Lord? And we went from that moment on. So in his presence, we recognize his divine authority to exercise dominion and power. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he answers to no one, whether in heaven or on earth. And so this gives us comfort that God doesn't explain often, and he didn't explain why he took the life of my wife, who, by the way, should have waited till after I died. I had a lot of diseases. I had a heart attack 20 years ago and was counted out and made it back. I was on oxygen for 4.5 months. I negotiated a contract with the Lord. I said to the Lord when I was on that table, I said, if you let me, why don't you let me up, one of your good guys who talks positively about you, instead of one of the bums that always malign your name, and then they live for another 60 years. So I said, give me 15 years, and I'll praise your name. Well, it's 20 years since that happened, and I need to renegotiate. But it is, so God provides his authority. The second thing is he makes purification for sins. And that he does, says Hebrews 1:3, after he provided purification for sins, that is payment for our sin at the Calvary, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. God's redemptive plan brings us comfort as we are now reconciled to God through faith. And that's good news. That's excellent news, right? And why it's excellent news is because now we have access to God, not for him to condemn us, but for him to relieve us and set us free. Isn't that great? And so many people are afraid to go to God because they think that God will discover that they're partly sinners. Well, surprise, God knows that. We go to him because he loves us and has compassion upon us. And so Hebrews says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance with faith brings. So the first comforter that we have is God himself, right? And so we don't need to be angry with him. We need to rely on his guidance and direction. Psalm 16:11, which is my favorite verse, says, you make me know the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. These are all wonderful things that are a result of faith and divine authority. Joan, in the middle of this, as she lost her strength, I asked her one day, do you still have joy in the Lord? And she said, absolutely. And I said, you know you're dying. And she said, yes. She said, do you have joy in the Lord? And I said, yes. Because we had peace with God. And we experienced that. She also believed that God knows and God cares. From Psalm 139, she said, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. And my frame was not hidden from you when I made in a secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, you saw my unformed body. And then she repeated this one. All the days ordained for me were within your book before one of them came to be. So God gives us a plan, and he gives us our days, and he makes them days that are numbered to complete his work. The second thing is way God comforts us is through his promises. And his promises are many. God has promised that he'll meet our every need, it says Philippians. God has promised that his grace is sufficient for us. God has promised that his children will not be overtaken with temptation. Instead, he assures us that we provide a way of escape. God has promised us victory over death. So he's many more promises. And young lady, can you hold up that book right in front of you? There you go. It's a book of promises. And I hope that I brought a few copies, and after the service, you can have them, as many as are left. But there's God brings us so many promises. Now, isn't it comforting to know that somebody who has their word keeps their word? Right? Well, I joined the International Cheese Lovers Federation at 12 years old. And I paid my $5. And every other month they'd send a piece of cheese. And that's odd. I agree. But I thought, for a lifetime, for $5, you can't beat that. And so I thought of myself at age 45, eating on some cheese from around the world. Then I got a letter one day that says that the International Cheese Lovers guys had folded. And I thought, well, that's not fair. What happened to my $5? And I was so teed off at those people that I wrote them a letter. And I got no response. And my dad said, well, it's not your lifetime, it's their lifetime. And so I said, learn the lesson. Thank you, Dad, for your compassion. So God has given us many promises, and his promises are beneficial. And he has many of them that he brings comfort to us. That many as believe in him, to them he gives the right to be called children of God. God promised that he is the resurrection and the life. That all believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you can think of many other promises. And so I encourage you to read the word of God and to see what he says. He doesn't lie. All the movement towards us is merciful and compassion. And so don't have to be afraid of him. In fact, we can come into his presence for comfort. And the other day it was a sad song on. And you don't want to listen to sad songs if you've lost your spouse. And so I was just weeping. And I just said, God, comfort me. And I just felt the spirit of his presence come over me. And I just wept. And I got it out of my system. And I said, thanks, I needed that. He brings comfort other ways. He answers prayer. I lost my keys again. And I said, there's no Joan around here, and you know why. And I said, she's up there somewhere. But I have to have those keys. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to show me where those keys are. And they're not going to be under a cushion because I don't know where to look. They're not going to be in some cupboard because I can't find what's in the cupboard. I can barely keep track of what's what. And you know those keys were hanging on the drawer handle where I get my knives and spoons. I never set them there. One of the tricky angels must have come and set it right there. And I said, that's more like it. I said, I can work with you. And the second thing about his promises, not only are they beneficial, but they're guaranteed. And so, again, being guaranteed, Isaiah 49 says, the grass withers and the flower fade, but the word of our God endures forever. Matthew 5:18 says, for truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by in any way means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. You see, God keeps his word. It might take a long time for you to get your prayers answered, right? And yet, God is patient, not willing that any should perish. And he wants to answer those prayers, so keep praying, and God will comfort you. Well, finally, the third way in which he comforts us is through his people. And this is what I'm really excited about, because it's you that God uses. Joan asked me a question one day. She said, Mike, I think this thing with ALS is going to be a real blessing to the church. And I almost threw up. I said, hon, I'm about 3 miles behind you. How can you say that? And she said, unless somebody has an advanced need, people that have different gifts, such as cleaning, sewing, mending, building. One person said to me, I know how much you love your wife. He said, at least I feel it. He said, and I know you don't know me. Okay, we're at church. And he said, but I'd like to provide a real wheelchair deck. And then I'd like to remodel one of your bathrooms so it's wheelchair accessible. Isn't that neat? And so 21 guys came over. And they built this thing, and it looks great. And Joan used that several times, and it was a real blessing to her. And then people came over with meals and checks and gifts, and they wanted some prayer time with us, and they blessed us so many times. But the most blessing of all was the time they said they'd like to come over and sing some hymns to Joan. And I looked down on our sidewalk, and there were supposed to be 8 or 10 people that came outside of our window, and they would sing like the ensembles do. And so we were supposed to just let the door open. Well, I looked down the cul-de-sac, and there were 60-some people. And they just came marching, and I said, come on in the house. So they were in the kitchen, in the living room, and down the hallway, and some outside. And they sang hymn after hymn, and just praise to our God, and thanksgiving for the situation that we're in. And Joan was fine. I was crying again. And I thought this was like when Mary Magdalene, I think, anointed the feet of Jesus prior to his burial. I said, you guys are preparing us for this loss. And it's such a blessing. And so the family of God showed up. And they are extended family. You are my extended family. And that's why I can say that I love you. Many of you sent cards and letters and other ways, and phone things. And I'm not the best at... Joan was really good at having one of her friends write thank you notes to everybody. I could barely keep track of what was going on. And so I wasn't as good as that. But so the family is extended family in Christ. And then secondly, we're... let's go on to the next one. Is that we are gifted for service for one another by Christ. And so the Bible talks about love one another and serve one another and carry each other's burdens. And that's what you do for one another here in this church. I understand you're getting a new candidate for a pastor. And he'll love you even as I do. And Pastor Vic did. And then he gave up on you. He called it retiring. But look at me, I'm retired, I'm here. Well, in summary, we see that God will provide us comfort in our time of trials. I'm sure that it's encouraging for you to see that I still follow Jesus, even after this hardship, right? And I'm comfort you in the same way I was comforted by other believers. And God fulfills his promises using his church to minister to those in need. And the result is that God is glorified, exalted as the one God of the universe and Savior of mankind. Blessed be his holy name. In closing, I'd like to read a little poem I wrote for my wife, Joan. And so I'll try to do it. It's called Our Journey Together. And before I do this, I want to tell one more story. Joan, senior year, there Red River played our St. James High School for the state championship. And she cheered for her school instead of her boyfriend. And some of our St. James girls came over and said, you're a bad person. You should always choose your boyfriend over this other stuff, this school. So we teased each other for 40 years. You should have cheered for me. And at the end, I said, well, we covered all the things. You're going to be with the Jesus. But I've just had one more thought. Have you ever thought about your cheering for Red River versus St. James and your boyfriend? And she said, yeah, I've thought about it. I said, would you change? And she said, no. That's my woman. A woman of conviction. So I wrote her this poem about our journey together. It says, as we travel this mountain range filled with dangerous crags, our feet slip at separate times, but our joint harness remains firm. Our comfort comes in his presence, not from the difficulties that surround us like enemies, We continue to follow a divine path. And what shall I do if you perish? Then I will trust God even more, who spared not his own son to make a better way for us. And so today remains a travel day. I hope you understand that with the meaning that you can get through the hardships that is in your lives, and that your losses can be addressed by the comfort that God provides in his presence, that his promises are secure, and then finally that from the people of the house of God. I hope this message encourages you wherever you're battling and whatever loss you're suffering through. My heart goes out to you. But again, I want to say thanks, and may God continue to bless. Let's close in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God of all comfort, that you have compassion for your children, that what seems impossible is very possible with you, and what seems of an unbelievable hardship is one that you'll provide comfort so that we can pass through the dark days and the muddy waters. We ask you to meet the needs of people in this room, and that you be glorified by the fact that you've taken your daughter to heaven, but you've left your servant to carry on and do what you asked me to do. We're thankful for Faith Evangelical Free Church and the people involved. So bless your word today. Give us sweet fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed to do good.